Support for Faith Matters comes from the law offices of Mullen, Hoard, and Brown, LLP, offering a full range of legal services to regional and national clients. Mullen, Hoard, and Brown are members of ALFA International. More information is available at 765-7491 or mullenhoard.com.
Welcome to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health, celebrating 100 years of faith and healing for Eastern New Mexico and West Texas. Covenant Health's mission continues to be ministry through healing by caring for the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. Now here's your host, Tom McGovern.
I'm Tom McGovern, host of Faith Matters, and it's my delight this Sunday afternoon to have as our guest, Jana Hunter. Jana, first of all, you are going to gather stories of our beloved friend, Ted Dodds.
Ted and Betty both.
Tell us a little of what you have in mind for this tribute to our beloved friend, Ted Dodds.
I grew up in West Texas. When I left, I said I would never come back to Texas, much less West Texas, and I wound up in Lubbock, Texas. After about a year, I was really struggling. I'm gay, and I grew up on a ranch in a very conservative town in a very conservative church. I started going to therapy here, kind of the third try at therapy, to get myself grounded in who I am. My therapist said, you know, I can help you with some of this, but you really need to talk to Ted Dodds. And I didn't know who Ted Dodds was. And she gave me his phone number and I called him. I went with 8 questions, you know, among them, which verses do we take literally and which ones don't we? My joke is he never answered my questions. That was 2007. Hearing other people's stories about how much he has impacted them, I thought Ted and Betty need to be remembered far beyond this generation and maybe the next. I started floating the idea with him to write a book about him and Betty. And of course, if you know Ted, that's not going to happen. He totally just dismissed it. I mean, in as kind of a way that Ted could. I knew it was going to be a journey to get to where he might accept the idea. So I just dropped it. And every few months, I would bring it back up. I would bring it up in different angles, thinking, I'll try this angle and this angle and this angle. Finally, I remember, you know, he always talks about community and stories. Stories are everything. People's stories are so important. So I finally said, Ted, there are a lot of people that have stories about you and Betty. I think they would like to share them, and I'd like to collect them in a book. You know, it's like I've sort of trapped him in his own words. Well, and at one point he said, you've got better things to do with your time. And I said, Ted, I think I get to choose what I could do with my time. And he's like, oh, well, yes, yes, you're right. He finally wrote me a letter and said, it's clear you're very persistent with this idea. He gave me a really brief biographical sketch of himself, the bulletin columns that he had written for St. John's. He gave me a box of those. This was years ago. It was just probably 2014, 2013, maybe even. Life just was crazy, and I never was able to really get to it. I was able to interview he and Betty several times to get kind of their biographical timeline set in my head. Right now, I'd like to start gathering stories. As you said the other day, Ted wouldn't be Ted without Betty.
And Betty wouldn't be Betty without Ted.
That's right.
They just had such a unique relationship.
It's amazing how different they are and yet the same, on the same vein. I can see the first line of the foreword or the preface, I suppose, would be, you know, this book is unauthorized by Ted.
Yeah.
I promised him that I would not go on and on about how great he is, but I didn't promise that I wouldn't be a vehicle for others who might say those things.
Let's go back and find out who Jana is.
Born in Garden City, grew up on a ranch, just free, riding horses, riding bicycles, tiny town, tiny school. When I was in junior high, though, I went to a school-sponsored camp, and I chose to go to Green Bay, Wisconsin, because it was the farthest camp from my home. And my mom says when I got back, she said the look in my eyes was I've kind of lost her. She's gone. Because it's like, oh my goodness, it was beautiful. The travel, the trees, the hills, it was just beautiful. I think at that point, I kind of became a nomad, if you will. And so when I graduated from college, went to Abilene Christian. I went to the University of Tennessee in Knoxville and was working in college media athletics. with the Lady Vols Women's Athletics Department.
Who was the coach?
Pat Summitt. Basketball was my first love. It was a dream. I had also spent a summer in Portland, Oregon when I was in college. My next goal was to live in the Northwest. And after 6 years in Knoxville, I moved to Seattle, worked at the University of Washington. My soul is still partly in Seattle. The beauty, you know, people worried about, for me, you know, you've been in the sun so much and, you know, it's so dreary and it's like, but it's so green, it's so beautiful. You really see the sun most days. It may be for a blip, but you see it.
Tell us about Pat Summitt. Let's go back. What memories, if any, that you can share about Pat?
Pat was fierce. Those eyes, those blue eyes were fierce.
Riveting.
Yes. You certainly didn't want to get crossways with her. I mean, talk about someone who has made an impact on hundreds of people. I mean, I was just starstruck. It was a joy to be there. Then on to the beloved, the great Pacific Northwest. And there I met someone, and it was really through her that I wound up back in Lubbock with a detour, actually, to Champaign, Illinois. I was working with a book publishing company there. I worked with a softball coach in Seattle who we met with later, and she was excited because she had gotten a job offer. And she put a media guide, like a press kit, on the table, and it said Texas Tech. We were in Champaign, Illinois at the time, and my heart plummeted because I thought, we are going to wind up in Lubbock, Texas. I don't know, a year and a half later, here we were. And truly, at this point, I believe I came to Lubbock to meet Ted.
How lovely. I think that is such a beautiful way of describing the inspiration for the compendium of Ted stories.
Yes.
At this moment, Jana, we need to take a short break, and then we'll be back to continue this wonderful conversation.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health. Since 1918, Covenant has brought together world-class physicians, nurses, and professionals whose sacred mission is compassionate care for every patient. And as Lubbock's most awarded hospital for high-quality patient care, you know you're in caring hands. For more information and to see our 100 years of medical milestones, visit covenant100.org.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. Our special guest this Sunday afternoon is Jana Hunter. And Jana has embarked on a very beautiful journey to remember for all of us our beloved Ted Dodds. As you remember Ted as your mentor, I think that's what he would claim more than anything else. Is that what you got from him?
I would call him my spiritual mentor. You know, he never answered those 8 questions, and yet he led me to so many more answers or realizations. I'm not positive what I believe in the religious realm, but I know that something keeps pulling me back there. He just had a way of making you feel loved by God through him. You know, people talk about never feeling alone because Jesus is with them or God is with them, and I've never had that sense.
In his presence, you felt that there was a
yes.
loving being who loved you and cared for you just as you are.
Right. Like, I feel the presence of God when I'm in Ted's presence. You know, sometimes I get stuck with something and I get twirled up and not sure what to do. And my fiance, Kyle, will say, what would Ted say? And I'd be like, I don't know. And she would say, yes, you do, because he's there. And sure enough, if I stop and think about it enough, this is what he would say to do.
He believed that all questions, the deepest, the most troubling, even the tormenting questions in our life, are God-given to enable us to come to know God and to come to know ourselves as a child of God. Did you have that experience with him?
Yes, I did. He counseled me. We talked hours and hours and hours. It's just amazing. And often staying with a question means I start sobbing. He just sat there with you. And he would kind of look off slightly away from you so that he's not staring at you when you're sobbing, but close enough so that he can tell when to reengage. It was amazing.
I think Ted was the master of deep listening.
Yes, and his face, you know, his face was pained for you. And you just felt like it was okay to cry until you didn't need to cry anymore. And then we'd pick it back up with the question.
Of course. And staying with the question.
Yes.
But I think one of the great gifts that he has given to this community and communities far beyond Lubbock was the elegant way in which he led groups.
His Sunday school class at St. John's, I went to for several years. There's a theology group that he had put together that studies theological books, and theological being a really loose term. And then another group that he had started, he starts these, I can't remember the phrase you use, I call them life processing groups. He has this way of knowing who to connect together in his way, or who to invite together, and then they connect with themselves. Every group, there's the go-around. There's the go-around at the beginning and the go-around at the end to make sure everybody has a chance to speak.
Have you ever been to a dinner with him? It might be at his house, certainly with Betty as host, but somebody else is hosting, and then the dinner is winding down. And do you remember what would happen?
Yes. He's thrown out some deep idea or topic or question. I was so eager to know what he thought about this particular topic. And you never knew, because he's got everybody else talking. He's listening. He's just sort of prodding along, facilitating the conversation, but never quite revealing what he thinks about it.
There would be lovely conversation, respectful conversation, people with different viewpoints. He was so committed, too passionate about being tolerant. Thinking about books, any particular book that comes to mind was particularly helpful to you and to the group that you worked with?
Yeah, the first book that I studied with that group, The Spiral Staircase by Karen Armstrong, it was so personal in her spiritual journey. And so I connected really deeply with that. We would study Islam and we would study the environment. It was really fascinating to see what next book would bubble up. I know that recently the group, which is still ongoing at St. John's, studied a book called something like Our Great Big American God. And so sort of how Americans seems to have constructed our own God and our vision of God. And another book along those lines was a book about how politics and religion separate people. Yeah. But it was always so insightful, the books and the conversation.
I love the gentle way he guided conversation, not to a particular end, but to make sure that everybody was heard from. And then if he sensed somebody wasn't getting due time, he would make sure that that person had a chance to express themselves.
That phrase, gently guided, sometimes when I'm trying to explain to people how TED was at the forefront of so many social issues, whether it was making sure the migrant workers' kids had shoes, civil rights movement, and women in the church, and gays and lesbians, he gently guided people. He didn't push us toward that.
You know, in any controversial way, disagree, but he led a gentle guide. At this point, we'll take a short break, Jana, and then we'll be back to continue this wonderful conversation about TED.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health. Since 1918, Covenant has brought together world-class physicians, nurses, and professionals whose sacred mission is compassionate care for every patient. And is Lubbock's most awarded hospital for high-quality patient care, you know you're in caring hands. For more information and to see our 100 years of medical milestones, visit covenant100.org. The views, opinions, and comments that are expressed on this program are solely those of the host and guest and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions of KTTZ-FM, Texas Tech Public Media, Texas Tech University, Texas Tech University System, or our faculty and staff, our affiliates, our partners, and our sponsors.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters this Sunday afternoon. I'm delighted to have as our special guest, Jana Hunter. Jana is writing a book about Betty and Ted Dotts, collecting basically stories about their lives as they intertwined with the lives of others. You mentioned at the outset that Betty and Ted and yourself had some conversations about the book or the compilation of stories and conversations that you were putting together. What did you gather about Ted and Betty from conversations with them?
They are deeply in love. They were deeply in love till the very end. It was so fun to watch them, and by them, I mean Ted, pick at Betty. It was just delightful. And those eyes, you know, it would sparkle. Ted, of course, was not too keen on talking about himself. Okay. So Betty was able to fill in a lot of things. In talking with them about just the timeline of what they did, one of the first things that he mentioned was when he was in the Army, he learned early on that you can't force or coerce someone into doing something. And I don't know if he was a gentle leader before that. Certainly, I believe that played a part in how he was able to guide people and encourage us along without us feeling like we've done anything wrong, to be doing something different and then growing toward social justice in our own way. He was always so inclusive. He and Betty both. They both told stories about how their parents always taught them to be inclusive. One of Ted's early boyhood friends was a black boy. I think his dad pulling him aside at one point to say something like, some people aren't going to think this is okay, but it is.
And Ted was quite the wild man in his college years. You know, people saw him as this very refrained, reserved, balanced person, but he had his own college years.
He did. He totally did. Betty likes to remind me of that oftentimes when we talk. But she says he was seeking. He's a seeker. Here's what my vision is. You know, Ted is so disciplined and all in to whatever it is he's doing that I could imagine the way Betty talks, that possibly he was all in to his wild days as well. It's interesting because, you know, he taught us so much about social issues, even in his death. It's as if he taught us how to die. He gently guided us in how to die gracefully.
Tell our listeners about the notice that Betty had put on the door not to disturb him.
My, quote, big brother, big sister, Dan and Carrie and I had gone to see him, and we had taken some food and we're going to leave. There was paper there to leave notes for Ted. And so we went with the intention of dropping some food off and writing a note. Despite our quietness out there, he heard the rustling. There was a nurse in there with him. He told the nurse to come get us. We knew it was likely the last time we'd see him, and we would love for him to speak, but he just wanted to hear.
He wanted to welcome you home, and then he went home himself. As you put together these stories of Betty and Ted, I would like you to invite our listeners to be part of this wonderful storytelling adventure which you're embarking on, how they can contact you with stories or remembrance.
Yes, I would love everyone's stories. Anyone who would like to share, if you want it to be anonymous, I'm happy to honor that. I don't know what this is going to turn out like, but I know that stories were very important to Ted. I wanted to honor him by sharing people's stories of how he's impacted them. We have an email address, tedandbettystories@gmail.com. No dots, no anything. tedandbettystories@gmail.com. It feels like such a daunting task.
At this point, what picture of them is emerging for you as you develop your stories?
It's a picture of an octopus, because the tentacles of who they reach and the different communities and people that they reach goes on and on. Every time I talk to someone, they give me their nugget of Ted and Betty is different. It's like their version of Ted, in a sense. I also hear about two or three other things that they've done that I didn't know that they'd done, or people that they had interacted with. It seems like each time I talk to someone, I have three other people to add to my list of people to talk to.
And again, the invitation that you so graciously extended to our listeners, Jana, to be part of this wonderful collection of stories. That's where we live most authentically and the most wonderfully as children of God. Thanks to you for undertaking this labor of love in which you remember so lovingly the stories that reunite us together as God's children, and especially in our love of Betty and Ted. So thank you so much, and blessings in your ongoing journey.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Tom McGovern. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health, celebrating 100 years of working to improve the health and quality of life in the communities we serve. Join us next Sunday for another edition of Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1, a service of Texas Tech Public Media.